Amen. Good to be in his presence. Amen. Good, of course, to have Rob and Mildred home, and many of you got to greet them, and Rob's getting refreshed some. We're looking forward to him being able to come and share and share with us what the Lord's placed upon his heart. And then, of course, Elston and Annetta dropping in for a visit. You know, Elston was here a couple of years ago, and he came up having, you know, become aware of all of the assault that we were under, and just a blessing. He just came up to make sure that everybody was okay, praise God. And they were praying for us and lifting our hands up, and we just thank God for that. But always good to see them. And Elston, why don't you come up for just a moment and greet the people? And God's doing some great things in the life and in the fellowship there, and we just rejoice in all that he is to us. Thankful for Father bringing our lives together. Come on up and just share what Father's been doing. Amen. Love you, man. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is still good.
Amen.
Tonight it is a distinct honor and privilege to be with you again, and particularly with Pastor.
Hallelujah.
I'm just blown away just being in his presence, because I've seen over the years a man of integrity, someone who not only teaches the word, but lives
Thank you,
the
Jesus.
Word.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
And it has spoken volume to our lives. And one of the things that transpired while we were coming back up to Miami was that there was a spirit of compulsion. I need to go to study. That's something that I sense pressed in my heart.
And hallelujah.
I'm not going to allow this to just die, but obey the spirit of God. And having come, I think that has given us a renewed vision and purpose for our ministry, and most of our the linking even closer in relation to the ministry here. I believe that this has acted as a catalyst to store what I believe is something very profound that is going to come out of the covenant relationship as we look forward to just immerse ourselves and sit at the feet of the apostle.
Hallelujah.
It is a pleasure, it's a delight to still see you serving God and knowing what you've gone through, you know, to see the purity that has come forth and spirit of humility that has manifested.
Amen.
It has spoken volumes to me and to Annetta.
Thank
it's a delight
you,
Jesus. For us to be here, and a pleasure. And you know, when we look back, in fact, when Annetta's problem was diagnosed as stage 4 cancer, I went, Lord, again? Because I heard stage 4 before. But there was something that was totally different. There was a prevailing peace that passed my human reasoning and understanding. Mm. That under these circumstances, you should be pulling what's not existing out. And there was this calmness, this serenity,
Thank you,
this assurance that Father is in this thing. God has made himself accessible, available. And we began to pray, began to seek God. And from, it was Good Friday last year, because I remember it distinctly, we coming out a week of prayer and fasting, that this cancer manifested itself. And we decided that we're going to trust God. The first doctor that we went to locally decided he's going to amputate it. I said, what? So without having any information, he said, no, we needed a second opinion. Flew up to Miami. The doctor looked at it and he was, wow, this thing looks bad. Looks bad. He decided to commence the treatment. And we started asking for prayer, and I just like to take this opportunity to say thanks. Thanks from the bottom of our hearts. We have greatly appreciated your intercession. And most of the calmness to which Pastor spoke to the situation. It just brought a soothing feeling that all will be well.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for that counsel. Thank God for that input.
Praise you, Jesus.
And it has meant volumes. And tonight, as Pastor shared, the doctor that we saw prior to coming to, back up to Miami from Antigua, he said that the cancer had shrunken 92%.
Hallelujah.
And the surgeon whom we saw before we went back down, he was saying, first of all, that, you know, there's going to be a lumpectomy and so forth. He could reconstruct. When we went back and the situation now has gotten better, he's now saying a vasectomy. And we go, no. A mastectomy, sorry. He said, no, we need a second opinion. We need to hear from God. He is our healer.
Hallelujah.
He's the one who has begun that good work and he's going to finish it. So we are trusting God, we are believing God that tonight has been the continuation of that cancer being totally driven Amen. Out of our body.
Amen.
That's what we are trusting God for,
Hallelujah.
Believing God for. And I'd just like to say on the behalf of the Reformation Fellowship family that our love, our concern, our prayers are for you. And that we continue to serve God, we continue to battle. I mean, the same spirit as we shared with the pastors, which was yesterday,
mm-hmm.
it's existing here. And the very thing that it does, it says that Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. The Lord's return, his imminent return,
Hallelujah.
Is very soon. This world can't get much worse than it is right now. the things that are happening in our country, for example, are no different to what's taking place up here. We have gone from one end of the spectrum to the other in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have seen sin rampant, gun violence. I mean, you name it. But there's a God who is alive and we believe that there is the birthing of a revival that lasts outpouring of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. That there'll be mighty deliverances and see God manifest himself that this world who has now had an opportunity to see God worldwide with all of the technology that's available, you're going to see the great manifestation of the true and living God. That's what we're expecting. That's what we're looking for. God bless you, brethren. Thanks again for accommodating us, making us feel very welcome. Very, very welcome. Thank you. Family, appreciate the bottom of our hearts. We greatly appreciate the kindness, love that has been exercised to us.
Thank
and we just continue to pray for you. We are doing that. Continue to pray for you as we look forward to greater things taking place. Pastor was saying yesterday, in fact, it's the first time I've heard it, where he says, black doesn't crack, right? But what he didn't add was, black feels cold during cold times. And it has been extremely cold tonight for some reason or other. They say it wasn't me, it was Mildred, so thanks be to God.
Amen.
God bless you, brethren.
Hallelujah.
God
Thank
bless you,
brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord's good, amen?
Amen.
We're just believing to hear that great report and to see the Lord receive all of his glory. If the weather stays like this, Elston asked when we're going to come to St. Kitts, and it may be next week if the weather stays this way, and I think we've heard from the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians tonight and take just a moment. It's great to be in his presence, just such a sweet presence of the Lord tonight. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of us. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is here tonight. It's his promise. We've come to glorify him and he's come to fellowship with us. What we've been trying to get into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is the effectual working of that one statement that he made, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. We know that that was speaking, of course, of the lifting up of himself as the sinless sacrifice upon the cross. But after that, what he has done needs to be heralded. Amen?
Amen.
So that all can see. So that everyone that looks, he says, will be saved. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so we were seeing very clearly that we've been commissioned as ambassadors of Christ. We are preachers of this great and glorious gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we've been hearing it over and over. We've been asking Father to come and stir our hearts and stir up the gifts that are in us. We've asked the Lord, as we were sharing in the last service, to just refill us with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need that fresh outpouring. We need the Holy Ghost to come and shake the place where we're gathered together. The building may or may not be literally physically shaken, but this building needs to be shaken. Our hearts, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
This is where God abides inside of us. Our bodies, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why cancers and diseases and afflictions have no right to stay upon the temple of God.
Amen.
It's a holy place. Amen? And so we've been praying and asking the Lord to come and visit us. And He has been. But there's so much as we were sharing ahead. And Father, we ask You tonight to come and to again open our eyes and our hearts to Your will, to Your purposes. That we could walk out of here tonight with again a clearer understanding of Your call upon our lives. Father, many are called, but few are chosen. Don't let us take it as a light thing that You desire to put Your hands upon us and anoint us and ordain us. This remnant that you choose to empower and to send out in Your name. You've said we'd be a people that would go and do exploits. You said You would go before us and open doors that no man can close. Father, we've come and we're believing You. We've cried out to You on behalf of so many different issues in life, opportunities to preach the gospel to our loved ones, to our co-workers. You said You would open doors and no man could close them. And we don't take it a light thing, this calling that You've put upon us. Who are we that we should become the ambassadors of Almighty God? And yet You've chosen the poor and the foolish and the weak, that the glory and the excellency might be of You and not of us. So we come again and ask You to show Yourself and stir our hearts to go out and finish this work that You've called us to. The night is coming when no man can work. We heard that Sunday, and now here it is, 3 days gone. What have we done with those days? What time is gone that we can't ever again recover? And what did we do for Your kingdom? And now here we are, another day given to us. And And at any moment, the trumpets sound and we'll never have another opportunity to place in a sickle, to put your name upon our lips and speak to the lost and the broken. Sober us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to the sanctity of this call and this great commission. And we'll give you all the praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul here in Ephesians, I just want to read two verses, and this afternoon it just jumped off the page. And I thought, Lord, we'll just see where it goes. But it just rang so true in my spirit. And he says in the third chapter here of Ephesians, he's talking about the richness of grace and the need to come into a fuller, deeper understanding of God's glory, His majesty. Verse 18 says that we may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Hallelujah. You know, to know the love of Christ for us, but also to know the love of Christ for all of those who He's commissioned us to reach. Amen. God so loved the world that He gave that perfect sinless sacrifice. Love the world, not willing that any would perish. That love of God that is infinite, beyond comprehension. That we could come to understand that love and that He wants to put that love in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Don't you want to be able to love as God loved? Amen. Not only to love one another, not only to love our wives and our children and the body of Christ. But to be able to love the unlovely. Jeff had an encounter today as we were at the mall. Young man, and of course one of those, he's got the totally shaved head with a little bun on, some oriental bun on the top and tattoos everywhere and whatever. And we had seen this young man before, and some here have shared the gospel with him, and Jeff went over to speak to him, and he moved in an uncommon way. He had never been like this before. And he just went off on Jeff. You people are stupid. How can you believe a fairy tale, this blankety blank, and he's cussing God and blaspheming the Lord. And as he ranted and raved, Jeff just looked at him and said, I feel sorry for you foolish people. And Jeff said, well, you know, really, my heart's broken for you and I feel so bad for you that you haven't come to surrender yourself to and know and understand the love that God has for you. This same God that you've blasphemed to His face right here, He loves you and He died for you. Amen. When we meet the unlovely, when we encounter those kind of people in life, that our hearts would be filled with compassion. Jesus loved us while we were sinners. Every one of us here nailed Him to that cross. Amen. Amen? He was made sin with my sin. And what a great opportunity then to share that love. And that's not what I want to speak on this evening, but just to really be able to come as believers and receive and understand that full capacity of the love of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God being His character, the fruit of the Spirit, the fullness of God also being His power. Amen? And we've in recent past months talked a lot about the character of God, the need for Christ's likeness and the character of God to be formed in us as we could love one another, forgive, be kind, be long-suffering, be gentle. And recently the Holy Spirit's then taken us over into emphasizing more the need of acquiring the power of God in our lives. And you shall receive, you shall take, appropriate, at any moment that you need it, reach out and take as much of the Holy Ghost power as you need and be witnesses unto me. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 says? It's there for the taking. And this is what we want to emphasize tonight. The fact that many of us are settling for too little of what God has made available to us. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm us, praise God. And with that being available to us, how much damage are we doing to the kingdom of darkness with what's available to us? And are we going to be satisfied, as we were challenged Sunday, to congratulate ourselves in our mediocrity? Now, you know, I spoke and I was sharing how blessed I am being part of the fellowship, that we as a community are probably in the greatest place that we've ever been. When you look at where we are as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're not out of balance. Our ministry and care to the body of Christ is in balance with our evangelism, our care for the world. You know, people go one way or the other. People are either like all out on evangelism, you know, and the scripture makes it very clear that we're to minister to the household of faith first, aren't we? That the ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are given to bring about a conformity of the church to the very image of Jesus, till we all come to the full stature of Christ. And so I believe we're in a great place. We've as a people become in these last years more outward and evangelistic than we've ever been. You're seeing it in your own lives. We've never prayed as a fellowship like we pray today. Intercession, your own private prayer closets. Our prayer lives are increasing. You know, we've taken, you know, to heart that phrase that we've been sharing over and over. To be much for God, you need to be much with God. And we've been hearing that and we're doing it. And so I don't want you to think for just a moment that we're coming and saying, you know, that we're all slacking off. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're doing better than we've ever done, but there's a lot more to be had, praise God. Let's not settle for mediocrity. Let's not fall into the trap of comparing ourselves by ourselves. When we look around at other churches and different things and to say, well, you know, in comparison, we're doing pretty good job. But the end of this saying found here in this book of Ephesians is that we come to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we have the same compassion for the loss that he had. That we have that same love that we were just talking about, and no greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life. You know, as we're talking about evangelism here, we're talking about, and we've said it many times, life as we know it, normal, our normal must change. Our normal of running around to the restaurants and running around for forms of entertainment and sitting in front of the computer and sitting in front of the TV and all of that normalcy has got to change. I didn't say there was anything wrong with any of that. I said it needs to become less. And our work for the kingdom needs to be more. Can we have one amen? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And so as we read down here, we see that call, that admonition to the fullness of God. And then verse 20 is where we want to look tonight. Verse 20 that says to us, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's quite an ending, isn't it? I mean, Paul was making an emphatic statement here. And he's encouraging us here in this passage, and it's something that we need to get into our hearts. That everything we're believing God for, he's going to do greater than we're believing for. Amen? Read it. Look at it. Meditate upon this thing for just a moment. Our God is a God of superabundance. Amen? We don't have a clue what God's wanting to do. Oh, we see the promises of God and we get illuminated and we follow the examples and we become followers of those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises of God. And so we jump on board and we start following Paul and Peter and all the guys, you know, and we get in line and we're realizing that they're leading us into Jesus. We stand amazed at the awesomeness of this call that God's placed upon us. We hear it so often, but beloved, let it begin to get into our hearts and our consciousness. You shall receive power, dunamis, miraculous violence against the enemy. One of the phrases as to what that dynamite, that power is supposed to be used for. Miraculous violence against the enemy. I like that phrase, don't you? And you can take all you want. And you shall take power. And you shall take power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. And so we hear the Lord say himself, turn over to John 14, we're all very familiar with it, but we hear the Lord say himself to us, and it's just absolutely almost incomprehensible, isn't it? These words. Chapter 14 of John, verse 12, truly, truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and these signs shall follow them that believe on me in my name. Mark 16. They shall. Amen. And he that believeth on me. He that comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Believe. Verb. Action. Corresponding action. There is no belief. Faith without works is dead. Amen? We've got to begin to be those believers tonight that are bold, that believes God will do exceeding abundant. We've got to be the believers that grab the five smooth stones and run at the giant. Is that where your heart is tonight? Too many of us are satisfied to be the amen corner. Amen. Get them, David. David, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We're cheering for you. Go, David. You go. Amen. And how do we get ready to go? In your youth, you grab a bear by the beard. Amen? And beat the tar out of him and protecting the sheep of God. And kill a lion. And the Goliaths will fall, praise God. How do we get ready? You don't look for every opportunity to ascend to the throne and become great. I don't want to get off on that teaching, but you sit on the hillside and be content with where God's put you with that little handful of sheep and sing praises to God. You want to be great for God? You want to do something for God? Be faithful where you are right now. Stop looking for advances. Stop looking for the praises of men. Stop looking for accolades. Stop looking. Do it in secret that God might reward you openly. Hallelujah. But He said He's going to do exceeding abundant. You know, we read about those great men on Sunday morning. Look over at Chronicles there for just a moment. I don't ever get tired of looking at this. And we paralleled, of course, the fact that these great mighty men of David, that we're wanting that spirit in us, aren't we? You know, the scripture makes it very clear. It says that Joshua and Caleb had another spirit in them. Now, it's been made available to each and every one of us. Is that spirit in you? They had another spirit in them. And I want to tell you something. As you get older, that thing doesn't wane. God's men, as they get older, don't look for a rocking chair. They look for another weapon they can wield in the name of Jesus. I was just reading on that book on Smith Wigglesworth I finished this morning, and just one of the things that blessed me, he was at one point of his ministry, and I think he was 72. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, just give me 15 more years. He died 15 years later to the week. Everything he did in faith came to pass. He should ask for 20 maybe. But God knows what's right. Our days are numbered, amen? And some of his greatest works came in those last 15 years. Oh Lord, now that I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've shown your power to this generation. Amen? your strength and power to all those that are coming. Another spirit in those guys. Caleb, give me this mountain. I'm able, amen? And I want us to grab a hold of that spirit. Not from the natural perspective. In the natural, we would say, you know, I want you to understand you're greater than you think you are. That's not what we believe. That might encourage you. You're greater than you think you are. No, you are a mess. You are weak, amen? He's greater in you than you know Him to be, hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Be champions for God. Be great for God. Don't waste your time looking for the accolades of men, to be big in men's eyes, to go up the corporate ladder. If God opens those doors for you, so be it, praise God. But let it be done the same way it was done for Joseph and Daniel. Amen? And keep your hands out of it. And those that humble themselves, God will exalt by His power and His time for His glory. And we saw these great men and in Chronicles chapter 11 it's just such a blessing to see what the Lord does in these lives. And as the transition to the throne is taking place, it says in verse 9, "And so David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. And I will do exceeding abundant above anything that you can ask or even think." What do you think was going through David's mind when he was singing those psalms on those hills, tending those few sheep? You know, we've done a whole teaching on that, so I won't go back. And we went through and recognized all the character traits of David and in his call. And we went through and saw all the names of the brothers and what they meant. And so we've spent detailed teachings on all these things. We don't want to go back and spend time on that. That's not the point. The point is, and the one thing that came out in that whole story of David and Goliath, the whole thing that we saw in David up until that time that he went and took Goliath down was he was faithful to the duty that God had given him. He was faithful to follow his father's admonition to tend the sheep. He was faithful to follow his father's admonition to take the food down to the older brothers. He stayed faithful. He stayed humble. He stayed available to God. But nothing that David encountered was ever too great for him and his God. As I was finishing this book, Salter, the son-in-law of Wigglesworth, he was a great missionary, I believe, in the Congo. And he said there was an underlying anxiousness within the family. Now, he traveled with Smith for months and months at a time, sleeping in the same bedroom with him. He said the thing that gave him the most respect for his father-in-law, the man of God, the title that many put on him in a book that was written about him, the title Apostle of Faith, was that one period of his life. It lasted for like 6 or 7 years when he was battling the kidney stones. It was to the point that as he would minister and exert himself at nights, and man, when I was reading it, could I identify with him? He talked about how he would just roll in the bed. He would lay across the bed. He would fall in a fetal position on the floor and just roll around. If you've never had this experience, you have not missed anything. And to the point where as he would try to just somehow get these stones through and the blood that would, he would bleed through his clothing and different areas and writhing in pain and having the greatest healing ministry of his whole call. Everybody he prayed for was getting healed but him. Never one complaint, never one question why. Always ready to boast on the goodness and the greatness of his God. And that underlying question was this. They were just always like, Smith, just, man, don't go too far. And we've heard some of the stories, right? I mean, when you're in a situation and you're on the platform and thousands of people and they help this old lady up to the platform and she can't stand on her own and he says, let her go. Boom. And she hits the floor like a ton of bricks. People gasp. She's laying there in a heap. And they gather her and they pick her up. And he says, I said, let her go. And they look at him and he says, let her go. And boom, she hits the floor again. People start yelling from the congregation. I just got an image. I'm sorry. Make him stop. There's a few people know what that is. And it was that kind of a thing. Make him stop. What's he doing? And again, the third time they pick her up and again, he commands them to let her go. And this time she stands. And he commands her then to run, and she said, I can't run. So he grabbed her and took off with her, man. Smith, don't go too far. How about the dead man that he threw up against the wall two or three times and commanded him to walk, and he falls to the ground like a ton of bricks. And the third time he comes off walking. Alive. Smith, don't go too far. And his response to them was always this. How can you go too far with God? For with God, say it. That's what we need to believe. So if all things are possible with God, then anything we can imagine or even think, he has the capacity to go beyond that. Amen? I was asked the title for tonight's message. I said, I didn't know. I didn't even know what I was going to be supposed to do this. And I said, just call it greater than prayer. And of course, we know the one thing that's greater than prayer is God. Amen? Those that come to God in faith, the thing that's greater than faith, the thing that's greater than prayer is God. Must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. As we've been sharing before, James makes it very clear. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men that avails much. Jesus prayed in agony, more earnestly. And we've learned through that whole teaching that we did the series back weeks ago or months ago on prayer, and the fact that if Jesus agonized, if Jesus came to the place where he was facing, he had to get more serious and pray more earnestly, then how can we just piddle around and keep thinking that what we're doing is enough? Amen? If the object that's opposing you has not moved yet, then get more earnest. Get more effectual. Get more violent. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. We've got things that belong to us in Jesus that we're not appropriating. We need to come back and allow Him to stir that up in us and remind us of who we are. And Satan will come and harass you and kick you when you're down and tell you all kinds of ugly things about yourself. He's the accuser of the brethren. But the one thing we know tonight is this, that wherever you find yourself now, in whatever trial you may be facing, you are more than a conqueror. And if God's for you, nobody can be against you. Amen? And you will not be tempted past that you're able to stand. And with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. Hallelujah. Just get up and step out of it tonight. That fear, just get up and step out of it tonight. That oppression, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What gives us the capacity to do that? Draw nigh unto God. Amen? Amen. Get in the presence of God. What is it that you think's too hard? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He'll do exceeding abundant above anything that you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. Hallelujah. Believe for it to start working in you. Amen? Just believe for it to start working in you. How do you do that? Grab the five stones, start running toward the devil, and throw a rock. Hallelujah. How do we do it? Get out of the boat. Wind and waves. I always liked that, you know, people that criticize Peter for sinking. The dude holds the record. Okay? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'd rather die in faith than live in doubt. And so the Lord's called us and He's ordained us and He sent us forth in His name and He said, I'll confirm the word that you speak with signs following. You got to go. And so keep it up. We've just had some complaints. I know we're unique, right? We are. You know, when somebody's weird in the family, we just call him special. He's special. We're special. I've not ever heard of any other church. Now, I've only been saved 50 years. And I've only been in ministered and been around many people and many churches. And so I'm not familiar with this. I'm sure it's happened somewhere else, but I'm just not familiar with it. But we've received a call and complaints here at the church about our teenagers. Some of them are being blogged about now on the same blogs that, you know, had all of the other garbage. Our children are too bold in sharing Jesus in the community. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they talk about they shouldn't do this. It's scary. It's something that it's just, you know, unsettling. They talk about things like hell and sin and repentance and the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to get on a blog. That needs to be your reputation at work. Amen? Amen? Don't settle for just an opportunity to water. God wants to do exceeding abundant. Believe God to save every person in your office. Praise God. Don't settle for anything less. Believe God to heal those that are needing healing and to be delivered from those that are being demonically oppressed. As soon as you step out of the boat, you're going to find out God is going to do a whole lot more than you were even believing Him for. Because He's the God who does exceeding abundant above anything that you could ask or thank. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight, and we just ask You to stir our hearts. Father, we ask You to open doors of utterance for us. We ask You, Father, to work in each and every one of our hearts. Forsake me not, Lord, until I've shown Your strength to this generation and Your power to everyone that's to come. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now just for this community, these that just are immediately surrounding our property here, that God would supernaturally touch some of these lives, draw them into this place to find Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, supernaturally, we ask You, Father, for this community. We come against principalities and powers that blind the minds and the eyes of these people. We come against that spirit of secular humanism. We come against the lying devil in the name of Jesus, and we pull down Your power. We bind You. We bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. We loose these people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask You for souls, Father. We ask You to send these people to hear Your gospel. You're not willing that one of them would perish. Hallelujah. No, believe it. Believe it. When you pray, believe it. See it happening already. Give God the thanks for it happening already. Praise Him right now as though you'd seen it come to pass. That's faith, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for those that are going to be reached this weekend. Added to the kingdom of God. Those at the workplace, those, Father, in the stores, those that you bring across our path in these next few days. We're believing for a harvest this weekend in the name of Jesus. Not settling for less than the souls that you died for, Jesus. It's time for them to be free. Those that we think are the hardest, those that we think are furthest from the kingdom, exceeding abundant above what we could ask or think. Those are the ones, Father, that you delight in reaching. Help us to love the unlovely. Help us to die to ourselves and serve these people. Give them our time. Give them our strength. That men might see the good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And for that, Father, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, go into all the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.